It's pretty much your civic duty to heckle the mayor.
100%, right?
Welcome to 10 Cent Takes, the show where we find your lack of faith disturbing one issue at a time. My name is Mike Thompson, and I am joined by my co-host, the sinister Sith sister, Jessica Frazier.
Ooh, I liked that.
I said that without messing it up. I'm pretty proud of myself.
That was awesome.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing okay. It's Friday, so, you know, that's always a good day.
You know what? Days don't matter anymore. I host trivia for a living. I live in the night.
Time is a flat circle.
It is.
Yeah. It's weird. I have suddenly found myself much busier lately. And so I'm in that weird point in my life where time really does have no meaning. It's almost kind of like back to the early days of the pandemic where I just don't know what day of the week it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, relatable.
Yeah.
But thank you for the reminder that it was Friday.
You're welcome. If you are new to the show, our main episodes drop every other week and provide in-depth looks into interesting moments in comic books and how they tie into pop culture and history. But today is one of our Dollar Bin Discoveries mini episodes that we do in between those deep dives. We spend a lot of time rooting through dollar bins at local shops looking for interesting stuff. And while a lot of the issues that we find are fun and weird, there may not be enough for us to do a deep dive on them. But that's just at the moment. We always reserve the right to change our mind later and come back to an issue. Each episode will feature both of us talking about one random issue that we come across in the dollar bins, one that fits a theme that one of us chose. Tonight's theme is Star Wars, because this episode is going to be dropping right before May the 4th.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about what it is, what goes on inside it, and why it's interesting. These are mini episodes that are meant to provide you with some weekly content between our more in-depth discussions about the weirder and more interesting moments of comic book history. So, Jessica, what are you bringing to the Hollow table?
Oh, yeah. Yes, don't try to set anything on that. Don't fuck up my Hollow table again. If you leave rings on my Hollow table.
I know. A little holographic chess pieces will come out and fuck me up.
Right? I bought those levitating coasters for a reason. You will goddamn use them. Well, today I have brought a goddamn classic.
Okay.
You could say the classic.
Oh, really?
Because I have brought a 2020 reprint of Star Wars number 1 by Marvel.
Okay. Cool.
Originally released in July of 1977.
I've never read that one, believe it or not. I've read a ton of other Star Wars comics, but I haven't read that.
I'll put it in the pile for you. It's a good one for sure.
Okay.
It's scripted and edited by Roy Thomas, illustrated by Howard Chaykin, and lettered by Jim Novak.
Wow.
This was a very faithful telling of the first part of the first Star Wars film.
Okay.
Beginning with explaining the state of the Galactic War and showing Darth Vader capturing Princess Leia and her subsequent message that she recorded for help using R2-D2, who they call R2.
Right.
And they spell it A-R-T-O-O, which is so funny to me.
Yeah, that's how they typically do it. Like, I've noticed
yeah.
in a lot of the comics and books that I've read over the years.
Yeah, so I thought that was really interesting, that like kind of style choice, and it seems like it was there from the beginning, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was all prior to the droid's narrow escape, along with C-3PO, who they call 3PO.
Right.
We then meet the bored and lonely young Luke Skywalker on the dusty desert planet of Tatooine. Is this starting to sound familiar at all?
Maybe.
Yeah. So he's a sad boy because his uncle won't let him join the fight with the Empire.
Right.
Yeah, he wants to be in the rebellion. So R2 and 3PO are getting into some hot water, having been captured by the Jawas on their tireless hunt to collect and pick parts from the desert floor and sometimes from those around them.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a look into Darth Vader's rule and his goal to end the rebellion. R2 and 3PO get purchased by Luke, who fiddles with R2 and ends up triggering the holo message left by Princess Leia. Luke is automatically enraptured with the beautiful woman and believes the droid to belong to someone named Obi-Wan Kenobi, wondering if it is Ben Kenobi's droid.
Mm-hmm.
So Luke starts asking some uncomfortable questions about his family, as he doesn't have a lot of info about them, and he is just absolutely shut down by his uncle. Luke takes the two droids out to try to find Ben Kenobi, against his uncle's wishes, of course, and is met with sand people. So we get a cliffhanger at this point, and we are unsure what's going to happen with Luke and the sand people.
Oh no, will he survive?
Oh no, I know, right? Will he go on to kiss his sister? We will never know.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable incest moment. But anyway.
Yeah.
So luckily we didn't have to hit that part in this one. But this was a fun recreation of the original film. And it was like watching the film in comic form.
Yeah.
The art was a cool, sketchy style that I think encapsulated the vibe of the film really well.
Well, yeah, if it's Howard Chaykin doing the art, it's going to be good.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was good. And I really enjoyed how they drew the Jawas and the Sand People, like, particularly.
Okay.
Like, it was really fun. And since it's a reprint, they did it on the nice glossy paper, so the colors really pop. Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, there's not much more to say about this comic other than it was like reading, you know, again, part of the movie.
Yeah. But
I love Star Wars, and I love the original films, so I'm always happy to go back and revisit them. So,
yeah, it's funny because like I consider myself like kind of a casual Star Wars fan, but like I have a lot of Star Wars media around the house. Like
you do.
Like we like Sarah and I both like, you know, we brought a lot between us to the mix. And it's interesting. Like it's also funny where I'm like, oh, you know, like I'm kind of a fan of it. And then I was like, oh, fuck, I've actually got a lot of Star Wars comics and trades.
You also famously will play the Star Wars Christmas special at holiday parties. I don't know why you think you're such a casual fan. That's cute though. That's a really cute notion from you.
Yeah. No, it's funny because when we were at Buck Lucky, the thrift store in downtown Petaluma.
Them.
Yeah. We found an original VHS copy of Star Wars for like $5. And I was like, yeah, I'll pick that up. I'm like, that's cool.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff. I just bought a slabbed Star Wars comic, believe it or not.
See, Mike, the casual Star Wars fan.
It was really inexpensive, like, admittedly. So.
No, hey, I am pro this. I am not trying to deter you.
Yeah.
At all.
Like, do you gravitate more towards, like, the main movies or, like, the spinoffs or what?
It kind of, more for me, it's about, like, vibes and character. So, okay. Like, I really enjoy the Ewoks because I grew up watching the Ewok movies.
Right. That was our childhood.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, of course, I had brought, I think during one of our other dollar bins, I brought an Ewoks.
You did.
Comic. And so it's just, so it kind of depends. Like if I see something that's really interesting, like a character based, or if I think the art looks really cool, or if it's, I like a lot of the side stories. Like if you can go more in depth about the world.
Yeah.
As well as like get some of those side characters that we don't get to focus on a lot during the main films. Like that's what I enjoy too.
Yeah. So, I tend to be the same where I like kind of like the stuff that people aren't as familiar with. Like some of my favorite comics are the Infinities comics that I want to do an episode about eventually. Cause it's the Star Wars version of What If, and it was published by Dark Horse, but now they're on like the Marvel Unlimited app.
Yeah.
And the whole idea is it's like asking a question that changes everything for each one of the movies. So it's like the first one is, what if Luke missed when he shot the torpedo?
Oh, shit.
And then the second one is, what if Luke died on Hoth? Like, what if he wasn't rescued in time from the monster that had him in the cave?
Right.
Or no, maybe he froze to death. That was it. But, you know, he died on Hoth. And then the third one was, I think, what if they had managed to complete the Death Star and return to the Jedi?
See, that's what I'm always interested in.
Yeah.
That's a concept that is fascinating to me. Just like the whole building of the Death Star is fascinating to me. I mean, it is a planet. It is a ship the size of a planet.
It's cool.
Like, I don't know. It's really cool.
Yeah. Well, in the slabbed book that I just bought, it's Star Wars Legacy number one. And the whole idea with that is it's like in the far future, I think it's like Luke Skywalker's like great, great grandson or something like that. And he's kind of like a fuck up. Like his whole thing is that.
Nice.
Like he survived basically a Jedi culling, you know, it's like, it's kind of the whole thing where it's like, oh, the Jedi got all murdered again and the Sith are now in charge.
Right.
And so he's like making a living as a smuggler and he's a drug addict. And
oh, damn,
I've got all of the trades and they're really fun. It's actually a really good story, but like,
yeah,
I don't know. I found that and I was like, yeah, I'll pick that up. Sure. So
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, what did you officially bring for us?
So, I picked up Star Wars Droids number 2, This was published by Marvel Comics under their Star imprint in June 1986, so it's meant for kids. It was written by David Manek. It was penciled by John Romita Sr., who was like a really big deal. It was inked by Al Williamson, colored by George Russos, lettered by Grace Creamer, and edited by Sid Jacobson. Editor-in-chief was good old Jimmy Schutz.
Jimmy Schutz, serious again.
Yeah. So the issue story is called The Ultimate Weapon. We open on a transport ship with C-3PO and R2-D2 talking. C-3PO tells R2 that his circuits are still scrambled from a blast he took in the previous issue. But 3PO notes that at least R2 doesn't look as bad as the pathetic lot of droids sitting across from them, which naturally pisses off the group and they attack him. One even refers to him as shiny pants while this is going on, which I thought was pretty funny. You know, and it's one of those things where I'm like, I don't know, 3PO, you're kind of a dick.
Well, yeah, he is a dick for sure. That is one of his character traits. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so the ship is being piloted by a couple of young siblings named Vic and Nikki. Vic is spelled with a K. And they basically have to be the adults in the room and get everyone to behave themselves. As soon as they calm things down, R2 almost overloads and explodes, but Nikki puts an energy shield into him that stops him from exploding, but also limits his functions. The siblings tell 3PO that their dad, Lon Id, can fix R2, as he's actually designed a ton of droids in the past. 3PO basically says that's great, but he feels lost without a master to serve. So the kids say that they'll be his masters for the time being. And they basically tell 3PO to make sure everything's secure as they dock at a space station. However, their dad isn't waiting for them in the hangar. Instead, there's this like sinister looking ship and nothing else. So Nikki goes off to find their father. And she turns a corner and then spots her dad tied to a chair by these space gangsters named Tig Fromm and Vlix Onkard. Like, okay. I swear to God, the name sometimes.
I swear, I know, right?
So they're demanding that the man install a powerful laser on their ship. Nikki gets captured by the villains, but she manages to turn on the comm system so that Vic and the droids see what's going on from the safety of their ship. Vic, 3PO, and R2 see what's going on and basically flee and take shelter in a storage area, where 3PO spots the empty shell of a Guardian droid, which he then tells us had laser-proof armor. You know, I wonder if that'll come into play later on. I don't know.
No, I bet not.
Yeah, R2 basically dictates a plan to 3PO, which basically amounts to, we're just going to go do direct assault and use me as a weapon. So the three go to the area where some goons are guarding the door that Nikki's locked behind. 3PO tells them that he's there to get R2 repaired, and then as soon as they get close enough to the guards, he pulls out the energy shield and R2 overloads. Meanwhile, Vic gets his sister, but an attack drone blasts R2 before they can fully pull off the rescue. So now the whole family has been captured by the gangsters, and we cut to Lon Id telling the villains he's installed the laser and to please leave him and his family in peace. Tig Fromm tells Lon Id, I can't, man, these names. That he's gonna blow apart the space station with the new laser, but then gasp, a Guardian droid appears out of nowhere, and surprise, it's actually 3PO wearing the shell. But he manages to destroy the attack drones while Vic drops a cargo net on the gangsters. And after this, Lon Id manages to repair R2 and tells 3PO that his kids will fly the two droids to the nearest intergalactic droid agency when everyone is ready to go. However, R2 announces that he's not setting one wheel outside of the station until someone tells him what happened, making everyone laugh, freeze frame, end scene.
Oh my God, they jump in the air.
Yeah, it's almost exactly that. I was just thinking about that.
Oh my God,
like,
okay. That's so funny.
It's like that scene from Anchorman. Like, this was actually kind of a cute comic. It's not especially deep or impressive, but if I was a kid who was reading this, I would have absolutely enjoyed myself. Like, even today, I think I would have enjoyed it as a kid. But okay, it's just, yeah. It's very clearly meant for a certain age group.
Yeah.
Romita's art is definitely giving off Archie, but in the Star Wars universe vibes. The story is simple, but it generally works. And it's also kind of interesting to see all the stuff that's going on, because it's all part of that Legends universe now that was like canon until around 2014, when Disney kind of wiped away all the official lore that wasn't in the movies.
Right.
So that was the thing, was like all of these characters that I just named, they were all part of the established Star Wars canon. And like, I had a friend who worked for Lucasfilm, and he worked on the video game side. And we were talking about at one point how when they were making The Old Republic, which was this big MMO that I think is still around, a Star Wars comic had established something called like vibroblades, which were like metal blades, but they could actually hold up to a lightsaber. So it kind of like even the playing field a little bit. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, it was that one thing. And so we had to like sit there and basically incorporate that in because it's like the one piece of lore. And he was talking about how they had like an official lore expert on staff who would go and do all that research. It was interesting.
I love that.
Yeah. But yeah, it's cute. I think I found this for like nothing. Like, I remember I picked it up at the antiques mall that we have in downtown Petaluma that also used to have a military museum.
Yeah. I've been in there before.
Yeah. So like that place has a bunch of comics kind of all over the place. And one of the places that I was like, you know, rifling through the boxes for had that. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And so I picked it up and
nice.
Yeah. So
that's super fun.
Yeah. Well, I think that covers us for tonight. So we will be back next week with a full length discussion on something. We don't know what. We always record these out of order and way in advance. So, you know, but after that, we will come back with another Dollop in Discovery. And until either of those episodes, stay safe out there and we will see you in the stacks.
Thanks for listening to 10 Cent Takes. Accessibility is important to us, so text transcriptions of each of our published episodes can be found on our website.
This episode was hosted by Jessica Fraser and Mike Thompson, written by Mike Thompson and edited by Jessica Fraser. Our intro theme was written and performed by Jared Emerson Johnson of Bay Area Sound. Our credits and transition music is Pursuit of Life by Evan McDonald and was purchased with a standard license from Premium Beat. Our banner graphics were designed by Sarah Frank, who you can find at lookmomdraws.com.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, ask us questions, or tell us about how we got something wrong, please head over to 10centtakes.com or shoot an email to 10centtakes@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter, or now. The official podcast account is 10centtakes, all one word. Jessica is Jessica Witha, and Jessica spelled with a K. And Mike is Van Sau, V-A-N-S-A-U. You can also find us on Instagram, Facebook, Blue Sky, and Hive. A full list of our socials will be listed in the show notes. You can also send us mail now. We are at P.O. Box 940 in Pen Grove, California, 94951. And Pen Grove is spelled P-E-N-N-G-R-O-V-E.
Send us stuff. If you'd like to support us, be sure to download, rate, and review wherever you listen.
Stay safe out there.
And support your local comic shop.